Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. And beat up cars with the tires and drummers go. Crack, boom, bam.
We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. And we've got our good friend Nicole Galinas with us, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole, as you know, is with the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor to City Journal. She is one of the smartest folks we know, especially when it comes to all the things that are going on in the financial markets and with respect to how the government is getting involved in that. She wrote an outstanding piece recently called "The Bear Precedent," which I wanted to make sure she got on our show to talk to us about. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on again.
It's good to have you back. Folks, I think everybody knows by now that about a month ago, Bear Stearns, there was basically a run on an investment bank on a Friday, and so over that weekend, there was a lot of consternation going on, and the Fed got involved, and basically Bear Stearns, Nicole, was really headed towards bankruptcy. That was the only option, I guess. And over the weekend, the powers that be at the Fed determined that this would not be a good thing, right? Is that a safe thing to say, that they determined that they didn't like the idea from a standpoint, I guess, of a panic situation cascading through all of the markets across the globe, not just one company? They just didn't like that idea, did they?
Yes, exactly. I think that's a fair explanation of what happened. And they, you know, these banks borrow money every single day for one day rollover financing loans. Whenever you invest in a money market or what have you, you are lending your money to these companies. And so
right.
If they can't borrow money even for one day, they really get gummed up. I mean, they really literally don't have money to turn on the lights or meet payroll, so they would have most likely had to file by bankruptcy.
Money markets are not like a CD. They're not protected by the FDIC, are they?
No, that's correct, and that is something that people are aware of. When you go and put your money in a money market, there's all of this big writing all over the place that says this is not insured. But most people are fairly complacent about that because
right.
they shouldn't be. And if you don't want to take that risk, you should really be in a CD.
But if Bear had taken bankruptcy, the people who put their money in their money market account, and all the creditors would have been out of luck, wouldn't they?
Yes, it would have taken a long time, most likely a year or more, before they started to get even a portion of their money back in the
bank. And it would have been
process.
It may be pennies on the dollar, and so the Fed didn't like that idea, and they stepped in and somehow brokered a deal with J.P. Morgan to buy the company for $2 a share. Now, that's changed back and forth in the meantime, but this was unprecedented, wasn't it, Nicole?
Yes, exactly. The unprecedented part, really, is first the Fed's involvement here in brokering this merger. And really
even greater to a great degree than what they did with long-term capital management in 98.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because the Fed was really just playing the role of let's get everybody in the room together and tell them
yeah.
they have to work out a solution to this without any public money. But what
they did two intermeeting cuts of interest that settled the nerves of everybody, too.
Yes, exactly.
Back in 98.
And those are normal things that the Fed does. You know, the Fed is cutting interest rates now as well, and
right.
people expect that. But what they did here was say to convince J.P. Morgan to go through with this merger, they said, we will guarantee with taxpayer money $30 billion worth
mm-hmm.
of Bear Stearns' most illiquid, difficult to value, and most questionable security. So you and me are on the line here
right.
for part of this merger. And that is
so
really,
it's the possibility that, I mean, obviously, Bear Stearns then was valued at under $1 billion, maybe, and yet they were guaranteeing $30 billion.
Well, it's valued at $1 billion because you have to take, to value the company, you have to do their assets minus their liabilities. So they
right.
certainly could have more than $30 billion of securities there. Their building is worth more than $1 billion.
Yeah.
So it's all in the mix there.
Right. But it still was a highly leveraged deal that the Fed did with our money. But they did one other thing, and this was interesting. When they made that loan guarantee, that was kind of unprecedented. And then they opened up the discount window to security to investment banks, didn't they?
Yes, and that is another longer-term unprecedented thing that the Fed is doing. I mean, right.
Tell the audience what the discount window is.
Sure. What happens is usually commercial banks, in return for the fact that when you go to the bank and you put money in the bank, as long as you have less than $100,000 in your bank account, that money is guaranteed by a government-related agency. So if one day you go to the bank and the bank has gone bankrupt, you are not out of luck. All you do is you take your account statements and you go to any other bank and you can get your money literally
right.
the next day. And in return for that protection, the government very carefully supervises these commercial banks. And one part of their supervision is that in an emergency, these banks, or even in some other times, but most often in an emergency, because banks don't like to do it unless they have to, banks can go directly to the Federal Reserve,
right.
which is another taxpayer-backed organization.
Hold that thought, Nicole. We got to take a quick break, folks. What we just covered was some of the reasons why the Fed did what they did, kind of some of the benefits. As we now know, there was no panic. There's no cascading of lack of trust that rippled through the global financial markets, and things kind of got back to a sort of quasi-regular. Notice I didn't use the word normal. When we come back, Nicole is going to tell us about what all this hath wrought, maybe not from such a good side. Welcome back. It's 53 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Nicole Galinas, and we're talking about what she calls the bear precedent, the precedent the Fed set by basically stopping Bear from going bankrupt. I don't think we can say, Nicole, that this was a wonderful thing to happen to the Bear people, because as Secretary Paulson said, I don't think $2 a share is going to make the Bear people feel like they got bailed out. And of course, we now know that those shares that the purchase price may actually go to $10 a share. But we talked about we know what the benefit was. We know that there was benefit. We believe that there was benefit. It could have been benefit from the bailing out of Bear Stearns to preventing it from going bankrupt, because we now know that there was no cascading panic that could have rippled through. Do you think that that's what would have happened? Do you think that the markets would have taken it in stride?
Well, I think it's important to note that the government argues that this wasn't a bailout because of what you said, that the shareholders are losing an enormous amount of their money. But on the other hand, who is being bailed out is Bear Stearns' creditors. You had all of
right.
Bear Stearns' trading partners, people who had made deals with the company, who knew that one of their risks was credit risk,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, people, institutions who had loaned Bear Stearns
money. But
that
would have caused the cascade, though, wouldn't it?
Well, I think we can't really know that. I think the government really made this decision in a great
right.
panic. And, of course, the government was listening only to people who had a huge incentive to do this deal. All of the investment banks that the government was in the room with are creditors of Bear Stearns. So, of course, they were trying to make the situation seem as negative as possible. If you really look at what has happened, you know, creditors, big companies go bankrupt. Enron went bankrupt. The economy did not collapse. Creditors know that they're taking on a credit risk. They're supposed
mm-hmm.
to carefully assess these companies to see if they're good for paying this money back. And if they're not, then the normal procedure for that company is to go through a bankruptcy where an objective supervisor carefully goes through all of the claims against the company and tries to get creditors as much money back as possible, although usually not all of the money. And I don't think there's any, you know, because one investment bank goes bankrupt, yes, there would be a vast slowdown in this business for a while as everybody reassessed.
But with the market already being a tender situation, a very fragile kind. See, I think we've been fragile now for 4 or 5 months, Nicole, and I think that's what the Fed was worried about. But one of the points that you make in your article is we missed an opportunity to learn a lot of stuff that would have benefited us in the future. Tell us about what you mean by that.
Sure. A bankruptcy, you know, part of this crisis is caused by the fact that there is very little information about the subprime securities and so forth. A bankruptcy would have shown a light on this whole mess for the first time, because every creditor of Bear Stearns would have had to put their name on a spreadsheet, explain exactly what their position was with the company. Bear Stearns would have to explain each of its own investments and securities, and you would finally have information about this whole mess that the public could see. But I also think another important point is that here we've rewarded the markets for panic, exactly what you said. People said, oh, well, the whole system is going to collapse. Now, of course, they have an incentive to panic. You know, if all of a sudden everyone decides, well, we don't want to be in Lehman Brothers anymore,
right,
they know if they all start to run all at once that the Fed will bail Lehman Brothers out as well.
Well, that's what they think, and that's the dangerous precedent. But what's worse than that, though, is now we're going to have the government involved in our marketplace to a much greater degree, because what's been being said, and I have to agree with this, if investment banks have the discount window with the Fed available to them, where they're going to be taking federal money, they need to be subject to federal oversight.
Absolutely, but I don't think they should have the discount window available
right.
to them.
Right.
These are sophisticated companies, sophisticated investors. This is not grandma putting her money in the bank
right.
and expecting it to be protected. And if Bear Stearns had gone bankrupt and these creditors would have seen what their panic had done,
right.
then they would have had incentive to cooperate together to, maybe if the Federal Reserve said, just as they said in long-term capital management, let's get as many investors into a conference call or a big three-day
right.
meeting in New York as possible and explain to them the situation and explain what this run on the bank is doing. They would have learned if they run, they lose.
Right.
If they stay and try to work this through in a rational manner, maybe they don't lose quite as much, but we've taught them the opposite.
Nicole, I've got to wrap it up. Give us your website, please.
Sure. We're at city-journal.org and manhattan-institute.org.
All right, so check those out. Nicole, thank you for being here. Good job
today. Thank you.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.